You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Fellow Aussians, the Wicked Witch of the West is dead. Tell you the whole story. Our paths did cross. At school. Unlimited. You're green.
I am.
Together we're unlimited. She had her secrets.
Absolutely remarkable.
There is no fight we cannot win. Just you and I, defying gravity.
Why is it you're always causing some sort of commotion?
I don't cause commotions, I am one. Some of us are just different.
Bring folks together is to give up a real good enemy.
This wicked witch.
Don't be afraid.
It's the wizard who should be afraid of me.
The wizard that there is or was is ever gonna.
Hello, Aussies. Welcome. Sorry, fellow Aussies. G'day. welcome to this show, The Periodic Table of Awesome, about a musical sensation. And we're all green with envy, or at least Jill is. hang on, no, Peter is too. Sorry, I'm colorblind. So to me, that just looks like you're wearing black. Peter, it makes you look like you're a theater kid. So tonight we are talking about a fantastic movie and my eye hurts.
straight away.
And we have two wicked princesses of the Western Sydney. We have Jill and Peter. and we have one wonderful Wizard of Oz, that show about a prison, being Dion. And
I thought I was
the Cowardly Lion, or I may also be somebody without a brain. I'm not sure. Hello, welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome.
I thought I was the Wicked Bitch of the East. Eastern suburbs.
Suburbs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, then I am definitely the Wicked Bitch of the West.
Yeah. Does that make Peter Galinda?
Oh, it's very emotional, Q. I don't know.
Actually, not going to lie, did have a bit of a teary at one or two times in this film. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's probably telling you where we're coming at it right from the start. But anyway, hi, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Finally.
Are we ready to get musically excited this evening?
After an entire fucking week of Jill and Peter sitting on their hands, waiting to talk about this, I'm very happy to just be like, okay, and over to you guys.
I'm not, because I want to talk about it too, because I'm a musical theatre nerd.
Yeah.
Well, so, yes, I want to know, from the get-go, where are you all at with your wickedness? Like, are you long-term fans? Have you read the books? Where do you come from on this one?
Long-term musical fan. Heard the soundtrack before I saw it on stage, because somebody that was, like, into listening to theatre soundtracks and slime tutorials showed it to me. and
slime tutorials.
And slime tutorials, if you know, you know. Yeah. And I have seen it on stage in Sydney, all three productions that have toured.
Wow.
I had have a friend lend me the books, but this was the same friend that tried to make me watch Avatar. So out of spite, I have not done either. Didn't watch that, didn't read the books. but I had the books in my hands at one point, but didn't read them. Yeah.
Right. So how many books are there? Like, I thought that Wicked itself was a singular novel, or am I wrong?
I believe there's two books. Or I could be mistaken. I don't know.
Right. I'm looking that up.
Yeah, I don't know. I do know there is one.
Yes, so yeah, Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch, which is an American novel published in 1995 by Gregory Maguire. Right. So
yeah.
Only the one, as far as I'm aware.
Hmm.
Great, okay.
Yeah.
She must have lent me something else.
Maybe some of the other Oz books. As a matter of interest, where yet with Oz as a place? Like, do you, okay.
I've seen Wizard of Oz. I've seen Return to Oz. I've seen that weird James Franco one. But I've not seen the
Wiz. Oh, my God, I forgot about the weird James Franco one.
Everybody forgot about the weird James Franco one.
I also have seen that.
But what but what about the Wiz?
No, I haven't seen the Wiz.
Oh, I love the Wiz. I was actually...
Fizz Wiz? What about Fizz Wiz?
Pretty sure James Franco's seen more than his fair share of Fizz Wiz.
Mm-hmm. He's probably on Fizz Wiz making that movie.
Yeah, it was actually one of the few things that I was excited about at one point. I was asked whether I wanted to direct The Wiz on stage.
Oh.
And I was like, and I thought about it. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do with that? Then I thought, holy shit, I want to do the whole show on roller skates. And then, well, actually not on roller skates, but on roller blades and do it all in a big half pipe. And everyone was like, no, no, we're not doing that. It's a terrible idea. And also, we've seen Starlight Express, so get out. Peter, where are you at with all things Wicked? Wicked, yeah.
All things Oz or Wicked? Well, yes, obviously also long-time musical nerd. Heard the music many times way before I saw it anywhere, because I actually saw it in Australia. The first production I saw. Maybe Brisbane. I can't remember. Was it Brisbane or Sydney? Anyway, not important to that discussion. Not this last round, obviously, some time ago. Obviously, love the music. Refused to watch Frozen for quite some time because I thought Let It Go was just basically poor man's Defying Gravity. which, come on. Like,
even though Indina sings both of them.
That's why. That's like, if you're going to have one, and thematically, very similar.
Yes, that is very true.
I, obviously, The Wizard of Oz is one of my first movie musical memories, and we had that on VHS tape, and I don't even know how many times I watched it as a child. And, you know, who didn't belt out Over the Rainbow?
Yeah.
Just, you know, as standard as a kid. Have not read any of the books of anything. I've stayed in movie and stage land.
Okay. Where are you at with, like, Return to Oz?
Once, a while ago.
Once is enough.
Fuzzy memories. On that, I've got fuzzy memories of The Wiz. Like, I've seen it once, but, you know, I'm not a return customer. Yeah. And yeah, the weird James Franco one. What the fuck was with that? Why?
We forgot that existed until Dion mentioned it, and then I went and looked at the trailer and went, "Oh Jesus Christ, this is not good." Dion, where are you at with all things Aussian?
Look, I loved The Wizard of Oz. I loved watching. Return to Oz. I loved watching The Wiz, but I might have been high on flu medication. And I have no memory of watching Oz the Great and Powerful, but I have. I have Jeff. Do you know why? Because I have a Plex, and the Plex tells me that I got 56 minutes through it at some point. Yeah. Anyway, look, have I seen Wicked? No, I have not seen
Wicked. Oh, no.
I didn't get a chance to see Wicked. I'm absolutely fine. I will get there. It'll get around. I just didn't have a chance to get out to see it this weekend. But, you know, it's great, I guess.
As far as you're aware, it's great.
As far as I'm aware, amazing. Can't wait to see what the background story is of the Wicked Witch of the West and mm-hmm. how she got absolutely fucked on by Dorothy, who, you know, should not have fucked her on that way.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But I do have some quibbles, which I've seen and I'll bring up later because it's just based on the trailer. But anyway.
Okay.
I know. I sent one to Quiddy earlier, like today when I was talking to him, and he's like, I put that in the ticker, and I was like, oh. Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah, but we'll get to that later, you know. It's fine.
And also, what you did bring up, I was like, that is actually the point of the show. So so we'll look into that a little bit more.
The point of the show?
Wicked. Of the film, of the movie, of the of the music.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, yeah.
So we will discuss that.
I mean, I'm just really happy that they did it all in. They just did it in one complete, singular movie that is just gonna. It's just like Dune, you know. I wasn't waiting for things at the end of Dune. It just wrapped it up in one singular story. Oh wait. Anyway,
I love it because one of our regulars, Rob, made a comment on the trailer or something like that, saying, "Oh, do people get surprised by the fact that like it's only the first half?" I'm like, I have been banging on about this shit for the past 6 months, that every trailer didn't say it was part one and didn't show it was a fucking musical, and now all these people are out there going, "I was so annoyed. I thought it was going to be the whole thing," and I was like. Guess I'll just sit over here in the corner and fuck myself.
Right.
I'm not.
Tone.
Great. But for those out there who may not know what Wicked is about, do we have some sort of briefing, some small amount of words that can be said about the movie so people get it? Some
would
sine
you like
wave?
A synopsis?
I would love a synopsis, Jill.
Would you like a musical synopsis with pitch issues?
The best kind.
I'm by no means a professional, but I do love to hear myself sing.
Just make
good.
Sure.
Well, The Rock says that you can sing along through all of his movies.
Wait. Just make sure you do a little bit of workout and up and down.
Yeah, I got to hit all the levels. Thank God there's no high E in this because I'd love to hit that note.
Right. Well, there you go. No music backing track. Just go right ahead, Jill.
No, just me.
Tell me what it is.
It's popular. This film is so popular, I'll teach you quite a lot about its plot, all the characters and themes. Ooh, there's Elphaba and Galinda, the pretty man whore, everything that makes this film popular. It's so fucking popular, you'll learn about social class, that the wizard's an ass. Know that it's only half the show, so let's start, because you've got an awfully long way to go.
Yay!
La la.
Wait, I'm going to learn about social class?
Oh, yeah.
Make you popular. Lar. Sorry, that was terrible, Jill. But thank you for enduring.
Very, very, yeah, very.
Well done.
Thank you for enduring.
Golf clap.
Do it in a shit accent so we get the full range.
That was my shit Ariana.
Yeah, and I was about to say something else and then I realized technically it's a spoiler. We do actually have something that could be classed as a spoiler.
And I did get spoiled on that, so
is this a bit about the shoes of Ruby?
Yeah.
No,
oh, okay.
You're way ahead of the plot there, Leon. Just like
I have not seen this.
No, you haven't. I'm dying for Dion to see the second half where all of the really spoilery stuff sits.
Right.
It's going to blow his tiny mind.
So I'm just pulling in things from like, wait, what happened in The Wizard of Oz? Wait, what happened in Return to Oz? Wait, what happened in The Wiz? That was a thing, people. It's the Wiz.
So when we were writing that piece, I realized that it didn't actually cover any of the plot whatsoever. But the plot's real simple. Basically, it's about Elphaba, who is a misunderstood young woman because of her green skin, and there's a whole thing as to why she has green skin, and Galinda, a popular girl, as the song goes. Yeah. They become friends at Shiz University. Shiz, in the land of Oz. The Shiz.
Wait, is it
a wonderful Wizard of Oz, their friendship reaches a crossroads.
Is it so Glinda or Galinda?
It's yes. Galinda.
It's
and
part
then
of the story, Dion, you Galinda. Would know that if you saw it.
Yeah.
But thank you. I'm that person watching the movie going, why is that person there?
Oh, my God.
And occasionally it may be Belinda, but, you know, whatever.
Dion is our mum that's watching the movie with us going, who's that?
Is there a watermelon gag?
No.
Oh, damn. That's a Buckaroo Banzai reference. Sorry.
I was going to say, I knew where you were going with it. I was like, no,
that's
sorry,
the closest
buddy.
I've got to this one.
So, yes, that's essentially what the plot is. But what did we think?
Is it too early to give my rating?
I mean, you can if you want.
Why not?
It's like, I've got nothing bad to say about this film. Holy moly. Okay, so for context, the film covers the first act of the stage show. The stage show first act, I think, is roughly about an hour and a half. So this film goes for 2.5 hours. They have completely padded it out, but it is filled with so much detail that it did not feel too long at all.
Honestly, I was watching it and I was like, I don't really know what was added other than a few bits to extra bits of songs and stuff like that.
How did they make the musical that short?
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, I don't quite know where things were added in, but this is all feels like it's quite, you know, important and it's essential parts of the story, which is the thing I was probably the most worried about. I was like,
Hobbit situation.
Yeah,
fucking oath I was.
So it's an upper hobbit. Opposite hobbit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an
upper hobbit.
Upper hobbit, yes. Not to be confused with Oppenheimer, Barbenheimer, and Glicked.
Glicked.
There you go. There's some keywords for the AI chatbot to look up later during the audio description of this podcast. It's like, what?
So that's the first point. It holds 2.5 hours. Now, does it hold 2.5 hours because we're all in love with the musical? But yeah, it holds 2.5 hours.
It's hard to tell if I'm not going to rate this just based entirely on bias.
No, but here's the thing. With adaptations of something that you love,
mm-hmm.
I am so much more likely to go the other way.
Oh,
And I thought that I might have a Les Mis experience.
Although I
care a lot more about Les Mis than I care about Wicked. And my expectations were much higher going into Les Mis, I think because I was kind of preparing myself in this regard.
I thought we could have been heading towards an Into the Woods.
We could have been heading towards an Into the Woods, which, again, depending on how much you care about Into the Woods, can be a varied experience.
Wait, question.
But
is Russell Crowe in this one?
No.
It's okay. Already looking
60% up? 60% of the people I talked to about Les Mis loved it, and I was made extremely, extremely sad by it, but that's another story. I think the thing is when you're looking at an adaptation of anything, you're walking a dangerous line. Mm. When you're looking at a screen adaptation of a stage musical, you're walking down a line that has had more failure than success probably recently. And when you're looking at a property that has already a huge fandom and a very specific fandom attached to it, then that line is a razor. So my perspective would be that somebody who loves it coming out of this happy, there may be bias in the review, but it's bias kind of falling on a kind of a positive side, because if you care about it that much, you're just as likely to come out of it going like, fuck this. They ruined it. They ruined everything. And that, happily, was not my experience.
Excellent.
I don't think that I have just kind of smiled with joy more actively in a two-hour movie than I did in this one, because as a little film nerd and a little musical nerd, for me, it didn't disrespect the musical. It didn't disrespect the design and the stage craft and all of that stuff. And what putting it in a cinematic format did was bring to it all of the best that a cinematic and only a cinematic format can add, which is that amazing world building. So instead of stepping on one with the other, it brought together the best of both in the way that you can only hope that something like that could. And in that regard, it defied my expectations tremendously.
It defied the gravity.
The gravity.
Yeah. Like the level to which they achieved those two things in a way that just made me so happy with the experience was well beyond anything that I expected.
Yeah.
So for an important metaphor, if I could say that the expectations everyone had was a black hole. And by escaping out of that terrible tumult, it has defied gravity. In that way.
Dion, that is probably the best metaphor you've ever come up with.
I was going to say, I feel like we need an emote for one of Dion's metaphors. Dion does a metaphor.
Oh, God, that was shit.
It's actually a very, very good
one. Okay, I'll pay that one. All right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm with you, Pete. Like 100%. I was trying to work it out how many times I've seen it on stage as well. Like, and I've seen it in New York, in Sydney, I think once, and then Launceston once. And it's not necessarily my favorite stage show, but this just, hit all expectations and then exceeded them in ways that I wasn't expecting. And like there are elements of the casting that I was like, oh shit, that adds a different level of meaning. The casting of a black person to play Elphaba suddenly layers it with a different meaning throughout, which you kind of like, huh.
I would argue that it's the same meaning, but it's just more obvious.
Yeah.
Like, it is basically a film about the failure of white allyship. And it does its messaging well.
Yeah. And it's performative allyship, but also the white savior narrative that is just deeply untrue. But then also, like, the all the discussion of the animals and the oppression of a different class of people and everything, you're like, oh shit, there's so many layers to this, and at the same time, beautiful songs.
I would go as far to say I don't think I've ever seen a better screen adaptation of a stage musical.
Oh, that's a big call. That's a big call.
All right.
I'm just trying to think.
I might just cast your minds back to John Chu's last stage to movie foray, Into the Heights, that we all raved about.
But it wasn't. It didn't achieve what this achieved.
Okay,
it was good. It's not a better adaptation.
Okay, so no, it's not, but it was very good. It was a good adaptation.
It was a good adaptation, and it did the same thing where it utilized cinematic art to add and not steamroll over what was existing.
Yeah.
Which I think is what happens in a lot of adaptations. Like the you end up asking a question like, but why? Why do we need a movie of this? Like, what are you adding? What is having a cinematic version of this adding? A lot of the times I'd rather just see a recording of the stage show, like how they released Hamilton.
Yeah.
Because what I respect about stage performances, it isn't just the plot and the music. It is the entire production and the stagecraft that goes into kind of bringing that alive.
Well, here's the thing. I think if somebody said they were going to do a film version of Hamilton, I would say, count me out. Not interested. Because that to me is like peak stagecraft, like everything about it, the choreography, the set design and the performances like exceed what could possibly be achieved on stage. And it's not with like any special rigging or special effects, you know, pyrotechnics, anything like fancy like that. It's just pure talent and you know, the craft.
And the movement of from scene to scene is and vignette to vignette, because that's kind of what it is so theatrical, so stage based.
Yeah.
Like essentially it'd be a 2.5 hour long montage of vignettes and little scenes and then stuff like that, which why would you do it as a film? And
I could only assume that you'd have the advantage of locations, but again, I don't see the point of translating that into film. Whereas something like Wicked, where comparing the stage version to this, this is just dialed up to 100. You get so much more detail. There's so much more room to breathe around musical moments and the scenes in between, that it's incredible. Like the sound stages that they built for this film were enormous. The lighting that they rigged, the costumes and peopling of all of the scenes was
the
just
millions of tulips.
Insane. The hundreds and hundreds of tailors that they had creating costumes. There's not a moment in any scene that your eye would rest on nothingness. There is always something happening and always something to look at.
And as at the costume
nerd of the group, I have to say, everything is so impeccable and impressive to look at.
But also at the same time, the respect that all of those elements paid not just to the musical but to The Wizard of Oz and the production design.
Yes.
And cinematography in The Wizard of Oz was called back so beautifully. Yeah. And that just was like another layer, as somebody who can probably quote the script of Wizard of Oz, I watched it so many times as a kid. Like, that was a really beautiful layer for me as well, because there are elements of that in the staging, but coming into that cinematic language and being able to kind of see those details, you know, up close and in that cinematic form, and see, you know, get that same feeling when we arrive in Oz that we did, well, when we arrived at the Emerald City that we did in Wizard of Oz. And that's because all of the callbacks to all of the costuming and production design and all of those little tiny elements that just live in your subconscious when it's something that's been part of your childhood like that.
Yeah. I mean, the original stage show and like the music itself all has influences from the original Wizard of Oz. But I feel like this was just, there was so much care and attention to detail paid by the people creating this movie to pay homage even further again, like to both the Wicked stage show and the Wizard of Oz.
And elements of other stuff as well. Like, this is one thing that I've sort of picked up on, that there are references to other films in there as well, including fucking Return to Oz.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah. So at one point, Elphaba goes to the edge of the thing and basically sings out over the wasteland. Now, that's the wasteland of the desert that will kill you. That the wheelers are chasing them around in that fucking horrifying film.
Right.
And at one point in time, one of the characters at the school, at Shiz, refers to Professor Mombi, who Mombi is the terrifying headless woman from Return to Oz.
Oh, okay. God, it's been a long time since I watched that movie.
But good, because it's fucking terrifying.
Yes.
But all of that kind of stuff, there's obviously enough for them to go, you know what, fuck it, throw it a bone. Like, give it a little bit of that. It's and I mean, Return to Oz is based on the books. So you've got all of this world building that exists in all of the books and all of the adaptations that you can draw on if you want. But I think what a lot of the chat was saying before was that the extension, like, if it didn't feel like there was anything particularly added scene-wise, but the real extension of time was in world building.
Yeah.
Was in showing you more and going, okay, this is, like, one of my favourite things is the train.
Yeah.
This ridiculous train, which apparently, yes, I know, Dion, took about 15 tonnes. Like, it's this gigantic fucking piece of set and was moved in two halves to get it onto set. And you're like, holy shit, I thought for sure that was CGI. Mm. Right. Dion, did you have something to say about that?
Yeah, little known fact is that train is the same train that was used in the last Indiana Jones film, and so it was a Nazi train, technically. no, I made that up. I have no idea. I have no reference to that. Like... That's just a lie. Quick question, because I saw that in the trailer and the stuff around it, is that Galinda gets to get on a train and go to the Emerald City. So why did she make Dorothy walk?
Because you have to earn it.
Like, that's just terrible.
It's a hero's journey, Dion.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta do the journey.
All right. Technically, Galinda is a bit of a bitch.
Well, if she took the train, she wouldn't have met any friends.
True.
She probably just would have been arrested when she got off. Like, you know, she got off the train and they would have been like, you're in jail. Oh, fuck, all right, I'm done. No problem. Well, you know. You guys are all, like, effusively, you know, great about this, and I'm so happy to. I can't wait to go and see it, you know. But if I was going to pay attention to any of the marketing of it, it did moderately okay by just making $162 million out of the $150 million budget, but absolutely nothing to the box office sensation that Gladiator 2 is, raking in $220 million off a $250 million budget. That's all I've been seeing.
No, Dion. You are fudging those figures.
Oh, sorry, $220 million worldwide gross.
as opposed to $162 million just for the US for Wicked.
Yeah,
I haven't seen what the worldwide gross for it is.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But I was just watching.
Wicked chat all over pretty much everything else, and has been an extraordinarily successful film.
My problem is, where's the popcorn bucket, and what does it look like? There's a question for the chat.
Honestly, they should have had a witch's hat popcorn bucket. Like, that wouldn't have been that hard.
Yeah. That's criminal that they didn't.
But how are you going to rule 34 a witch's hat?
I mean,
have you seen the Christmas tree dildos? ornaments.
Ornaments.
Have you heard of the a witch's sleeve? No, sorry, it's a wizard's sleeve.
Not a witch's hat. What are you talking about?
I mean, it's quite pointy. You just work your way up to it.
Yeah.
It starts... No, come on. There's got to be some more out there. Like, popcorn bucket
makers. Well, where's the gladiator bucket?
Ridley said no.
It makes all your popcorn taste like Russell Crowe's dead body.
I like to see that two homoerotic films came out on the same weekend and are making lots of money.
I've just put a link into the chat. Yes, there is a popcorn bucket, and it is the hat.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, not that we get popcorn buckets here.
Oh, there's a Colosseum bucket. Okay.
Yeah.
Bucket
all the time.
When are we getting
2024, the year of the bucket.
It really has been, hasn't it?
It really has.
I call it the year of the fuck bucket, really, to be honest.
Have you guys clocked the Wicked Lego?
I saw it the other day when I bought my lovely shirt.
That's very dangerous.
Okay,
yes, and I saw the adorable Squishmallows, and I almost came home with a set of those.
I hope the Wicked Lego actually makes up for a bunch of other tie-in big blockbuster film Legos that perhaps may not have been as successful.
Like Eternals Lego?
Or Avatar Lego?
Ooh.
Ooh. They're like, maybe just the Wicked one. Oh, it's selling well. Oh, good, good. And the film's good. Okay. Great. Oh, amazing. Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah, makes it easy. Also, the great thing about this one is it's not going to spoil any massive plot points.
Yeah.
Like, this has been the big problem with Lego sets for the past couple of years is that, like, you release a Lego set at your fucking peril because if you've got to give a plot point, the Lego set will ruin it.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of the joy of Lego. Spoiling things.
Asks the question, have we all been to the website that the Wicked figurines have been used?
Oh, you mean wicked.com?
Best. You just know, though, that in 6 months they are going to be collector's items as there is a furious changeover of packaging for whatever's going. So get out there and buy the wicked.com figures right now, the Barbies. Yep. You say, I had an OG one, and do not look up that website, young child.
Or do.
Yeah, get in before the age verification stuff that came down through the Australian Parliament. Yeah, sure. Get in before you become a registered offender for just looking stuff up.
Favorite moments, favorite songs. What have we got?
I'm trying to think. When was the first time I cried?
Was it when they announced it?
No, I'm trying to think of like which song I first cried in. I don't remember. Oh, I definitely cried at the Oz Dust ballroom scene, but everybody it was during the moment the of silence.
Ballroom. Oh, that was the first time I felt like I might cry, but you know, I'm not a wuss. So,
and then I literally lost my shit during Defying Gravity. I was just like,
that was a moment.
Yeah,
that really pulled everything together in terms of what can cinema bring to this moment.
Yes.
And re-listening to the soundtrack over the weekend, and I still get chills every time. Every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there watching it, and like there was a group who was sitting next to me. I went to the IMAX, and it was fucking impressive. This group were occasionally singing along with tiny little bits, and I was like, normally I'd be annoyed, but they were actually quite good. And I was like, okay, I'll give you a pass on this one, but everybody shut the fuck up when you got to Defying Gravity.
Oh,
and
God.
The shot where she was flying around and like the couple of backlit shots against the sunset and everything, I got goosebumpy all again just now. It was a thing. Oh my God.
If nobody has heard Cynthia Erivo before this movie, I suggest going checking out the Broadway recording for The Color Purple and listen to her sing the song I'm Here, because this girl just will let you have it. She's incredible.
So I think the first time I got teary was when she was singing The Wizard and I.
Yes.
Because there are a couple of moments in that that are just like it's a beautiful song. You can see what she wants and needs, but also there is some of the smartest use of lighting and color language I've ever seen that made me go, oh, fucking nice work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at different points in time, she's sort of being hit by light coming through different.
The lighting cancels the green on her skin. And it's the most impressive thing I've seen. It was so good.
Yeah. It's just like, oh.
Yeah,
but yeah, that fucking ballroom scene, Jesus Christ.
Do you guys...
I also really loved the library dance in Dancing Through Life, because that is one of the ones that just felt so theatre but also so cinema at the same time to me.
I watched the scene breakdown where John Chu and his director of photography break down how they filmed that scene, and a lot of it is continuous shots, so there's not a lot of cuts in that, and they actually had to work out how to film it, and they've done it so many times.
It was obviously a tricky lighting situation. The only thing I didn't like about it is there was a tricky lighting situation where there was actually a lot of glare in the background at one point, and that distracted me. And I think, like,
well, 10 points off for that.
Well, 10 points off for that, obviously. But you know, Jonathan Bailey was great. He was the only cast member, by the way, where, like, when, like, he first enters, as lovely as it is, I'm like, too old for this role. to, like, fair my disbelief on that one. But he was, like, fantastic in that song. Like, you know, it was beautifully choreographed and just the whole ensemble was great. So that was one of the ones that just kind of made me just be grinning like an idiot just because I was like, fuck, I'm just having so much fun.
Yeah.
And it was one of the ones where I did think, oh, have they, you know, really added to this with CGI or stuff like that? And then I looked at some of the behind the scenes stuff and I was like, Jesus Christ, that dance.
They did not use CGI at all in that scene. Everybody is like a parkour artist or a dancer or both.
Fucking mind blowing.
Yeah.
Like, Dion, you've seen perhaps bits of the behind the scenes and stuff. It's these big spinning round things with cross beams in them. And the dance number is in between and through the cross beams and as it spins around. And it is just fucking magnificent.
Right. Does it live
and
up
something
to
something you would never do on stage?
Does it live up to the amount of parkour that I saw in the American adaptation of The Office? No?
They're not jumping onto dumpsters. So, no,
and yelling out parkour during the middle of the musical scene? No.
Very different.
Very different.
Look, the casting of Ariana Grande was controversial. I didn't personally have like a deep opinion about it, but it's because I didn't think about it that much. But I had no complaints.
No.
Yeah. In fact, a couple of times I forgot I wasn't listening to Kristen Chenoweth. Like, she really nailed that Galinda accent.
Yeah.
I don't know how this girl hasn't made a career as a fucking soprano because, shit, she can really hit those high notes. It's impeccable.
From what I can tell, she's actually not Ariana Grande. She's actually more Ariana Demi, possibly a short. I'm not sure. She's definitely not a Venti, though.
That's... Okay, oh, now dear. You sing, Quinny.
Terrible.
You're gonna throw shade with that joke. You better sit there and hi-hat the fuck out of the next bit.
I mean, Popular was so much fun.
Yes,
so much fun.
And it's usually like the scene in the musical where Galinda really gets to let go.
Yeah,
and that happened in this moment as well. And unfortunately, I feel like the last Australian staging of Wicked. The Galinda was not quite there. She was like maybe going at a 100 when she should have been at a 50. Like it was too much. It was doing too much. But Ariana in this scene was like just enough. She wasn't like psychotic. she wasn't on like pre-workout before she'd doing the scene.
energy.
Like a chipmunk on acid. It was enough.
It's such a good song. Like it's one of those ones that is a showstopper. Like when you hit it in the actual stage show, it's the showstopper because people go, fuck, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was character driven, but it's also a banger of a number. And you kind of like,
I think Pete and I both said after the movie, God, we're so glad she wasn't trying to like do a Kristen impersonation for the film.
I know that
she hit the same place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got the same beats, but made it her own.
Technically, we usually do like a review number and then we do a clip, but I do have the popular, like a bit of the popular clip there. Should I play that now to give people
do it? Good time for it.
Okay. Yeah, so, our ratings
we
and
have
then
done,
doing the clip
we have
and
done,
then coming back and doing spoilers?
No,
like
we have done like 45 hardcore minutes of love for this. So, I'm just going to move to the clip and then we'll come back and give a rating. And I don't really think we need to do spoilers at all because we're trying to encourage people to go and see this and all that kind of stuff.
I disagree. I do want to do spoilers. I'm sorry.
Tony had something he needs to say.
Well, it's my computer and I don't... I'm just going to do the popular clip. It's right now. Quinny, listen to this clip and then I'll tell you how you're going to be popular.
Popular. You're going to be popular. I'll teach you the proper voice when you talk to boys. The ways to flirt and flounce. I'll show you what shoes to wear, how to fix your hair. Everything that really counts to be popular. I'll help you be popular. You'll hang with the right cohorts. You'll be good at sports. Know the slang you've got to know. So let's start, cause you've got an awfully long way to go. Don't be offended by my frank analysis. Think of it as personality dialysis. Now that I've chosen to become a power sister and advisor, there's nobody wiser. Not when it comes to popular. I know about popular, and with an assist from me to be who you'll be instead of dreary who you were. Well, are there's nothing that can stop you from becoming popular.
La 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 la.
Yes. I'm blopular. okay.
Plop? Well, what about plopular?
Pop. I'm poplar. yeah, okay, so what are we going to do? We're going to talk about the review part of it and then do spoilers because you've got things you want to talk about, Q? Or ratings. What do you want to do? Ratings?
Let's drop some scores because some there scores. May be people who don't want to, you know, hear the spoilery bits that we're talking about. And they can sort off if they want to.
I'm going to recuse myself of rating as I haven't seen. So
my rating, rate based on the trailer.
Yeah. My rating is get thee to a cinema, Dion. And wait, here's a question though. Should I spend the money for an IMAX ticket, or should I just see it in a regular, you know, Christopher Nolan phone screen on an airplane? Eventually, okay.
I can't speak for Quinny. Quinny saw it in IMAX. What did you think?
It's okay. So my feeling on this is, you will get a fantastic experience wherever you go, as long as it's on a big screen. IMAX is amazing. It is one of the few times, perhaps the only time in the last 10 years that I've been watching something and thought, fuck, I wish I could watch this in 3D. Yeah. Like I honestly had that moment of going, I would love to watch this in IMAX 3D. And that's not a phrase that ever passes these lips.
Right, so it's PSVR headset worthy.
Yeah.
I mean, the VMAX in Sydney is pretty much the same size as the IMAX. So if you want to cheap out and just do the VMAX, because, I mean, you're probably only going to save $10 in the long run.
IMAX is 50-something bucks for a ticket, so it's... Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Well, you're probably looking at like 40 at the VMAX.
Can I ask a side question off this? Do you think it will be worth, this will become one of those cult classics where they'll just put it on at like the Hayden Morpheum and people will sing through it and dress up and they leave the lights on and they do all that kind of stuff? Or
I'd go. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, a fun screening instead of one where it's like, shut up, I'm listening to the song.
I mean... I would be interested to see if they do a sing-along screening because they've done that for other musical movies, like specifically Disney ones. I would definitely go to a sing-along screening with friends.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. Yeah. There's an idea that's come to me. The Periodic Table of Awesome sing-along screening. But I'll do something evil, like put one karaoke mic at the front.
This is
going to
be fucking fights.
Yeah. Like, hey, welcome to the screening. There is one karaoke mic and you cannot, like, you cannot book
it. I'm going to be that meme of Ariana where she's in Galinda's dress but wearing the Elphaba hat and saying, singing the two parts in Defying Gravity. Like,
all right, fine. I'll just shut up now and stop being such a tool.
Oh, dear.
So, Peter, what are you rating? You ready? Everyone good?
I don't have any complaints. I've got to rate it 100.
Oh,
like I don't. Well, I can't think of anything to take points off for.
Oh, I had two things.
I thought you were going to take points off for
that one scene where the lighting annoyed me, and the fact that Jonathan Bailey might be slightly too old for the role.
Yeah,
sounds like a 90 review there, Pete. That's two things. 5 points.
That's
a thing.
98. That's 1 point 98.
Each.
Oh, I was really excited to have it say 100, but there you
well,
go.
Well, I had too much fun. I had too much fun. I can't say it's not as good as Ted Lasso season one, and I rated that 100.
Shit. If you do combine, you know, if you try and compare those ones, oof.
This is that's going to be a slippery slope if we actually start comparing our ratings, given how arbitrary and fickle they are.
Yeah. I mean, how do you rate it in comparison to Logan?
Our rating system is exactly like the US stock market. Foolproof.
Yeah. More like a political system of government. Anyway.
I'm also giving it 98 because I had a few little niggles. They're different niggles to Peter's niggles. Mine were, I mean, Jeff Goldblum and Michelle Yeoh were really doing their job. They're wonderful actors. I think they're amazing and they were brilliantly cast, but they can't sing. And so they were doing those little, like, singy, talky bits. Which... And I'm like, we'll just have to go with it. Because honestly, what wizard in any casting of the stage show has ever been a singer, really?
Exactly.
They're always just a charisma cast.
Yeah.
So,
I love it because in Only Murders in the Building, they refer to those songs as being the talking songs that you give the funny people.
Yes, it's 100% what this was. Yeah. And also the cape moment in Defying Gravity where it just seemed to go on for eternity, I was a little bit... just rein that back in. And also, for such a bisexually charged film, I would have said, this might be controversial, Peter, what do you think of this? I would have done a lyric change in Dancing Through Life. The bit where he says, grab a girl and give her a whirl, I would have said, grab a boy or girl and give them a whirl. Yes,
that's too many syllables.
No, because it's grab a beautiful girl.
Oh, you want to take the beautiful, okay, a boy or a girl.
Grab a boy or a girl. I mean, this is how I would make the movie.
It's a shame that didn't occur to them.
Yeah. That was a moment. It could have been.
I have seen a lot of people saying Fierro has massive, like, chaos bisexual energy. Like,
excuse me, but Popular was so charged.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You mean a guy who just walks around with a horse isn't bisexual?
It's true. I'm kind of going to go with you guys because there was so little about it that I didn't like. Like, there was honestly nothing that I didn't like. And the moments that they added things or changed things, I was like, fuck, I'm actually on board with that too. I remember in other musicals where they've added songs, like they've added bits in or something like that to try and
made up their own songs.
Out. Yeah, made up their own songs a bit later on. And you're like, oh no, don't do that. like Les Mis springs to mind. I was like, yeah, but here they added stuff, and I'm like, I'm on board for this. Admittedly, they did it in the best possible way they could. So you know.
I mean, what's a better musical of 2024? Is it Wicked or is it Joker Part 2?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's a musical. According to the director, that's a musical.
Yep.
I love it when Dion doesn't watch the thing and then just trolls the entire time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I am going to go watch it.
I know you will watch it and you will actually have a wonderful time.
I'm going to book a flight to New Zealand and watch it on the plane just so I can get it early.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
to know, I would also say that I got a lot of joy from all of the costume changes in What Is This Feeling? Because, like, I just got a lot of joy out of that.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
That's all I have to say about that.
Right. Joker 2 has fucked. Okay, well then Joker 2 can get fucked.
actually, that's fine. I will take that. Yeah, I think 2024 would be perfectly done if in the Oscars they gave a musical Oscar to Joker Part 2 and not to Wicked, just because I'd be like, sure, this garbage fire is already getting bigger, so why not? Yeah. Let's just pour that on.
Toss another couple of tires onto it and let the motherfucker burn.
Look, I hope Kraven the Hunter is just amazing and then they make a stage musical about Kraven the Hunter and it wins a Tony. That's the kind of chaos year we're all having right now, so why not?
I can't wait for the film adaptation of the stage musical of Spider-Man to After Dark.
Oh, no!
Oh, everyone's slightly melting.
Still better than that.
Now, okay. Did we all get our ratings in? Everyone got their ratings in? Quinny, did you copy them down from the chat?
What was your number, Quinny?
99.
He put it in the thing. 99. So yeah, I'm going to put on this spoiler logo.
I was real big on it. And there's nothing I could think of that really, like, I mean, it was fucking long. That's about the only thing. And I will take off that point because I do think the marketing pissed me up the wall. Like, I will take off that one point because I thought the marketing was dishonest.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Peter, the spoiler logo has covered your name, so you don't have a name at the moment. Anyway, spoiler logo is up. Quinny, you have something to say. And be warned, anyone now, Quinny's going to talk about a spoiler. What was your spoiler to talk about, Q?
Wait. Give them another second to exit. You can't just be like, spoilers, and go.
Technically, we have 2 minutes left of the show, but sure, no worries. I'll just wait a little bit longer. We're going to keep going. It's fine.
Since when have we ever stuck to a fucking hour?
Dan's got places to be tonight, so.
Okay, right. Fair enough. Okay, I guess we can
My screening of Wicked starts in 12 minutes.
Okay, now I think we've given everybody enough time. Okay, so it's a spoiler only in the sense that if you don't know that these particular people are in the film, it may be a bit of a fucking shock, but having Kristen Chenoweth and
Adele Dazeem. Adele Dazeem.
Walk out in the middle of one of the numbers and then do a whole new fucking number in there. I said it in the ticker and I do kind of stand by it. You want to be real fucking sure that your leads are as good as they were if you pull in the originals for a number. Mm-hmm. You're like, and it turns out they were, but you know.
You mean Kristen,
but it was a bold move.
You mean Kristen Chenoweth has not absolutely slayed in every single thing that she's ever done because she just wakes up like that?
She does. She absolutely fucking slays in this one. Yeah. But it was that thing of like, I don't know about you, but if I was Ariana Grande, I'd be like, shit. They're on set.
Well, I get the impression that they've known each other for a little while, and Ariana was a huge Wicked fan and met her backstage during the original run and all of that. Like, I've been hearing all of those stories. So it might have just been like a nice, supportive environment.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm sure it probably was. Sorry, I was just reading the chat and I was looking at it. I'm sure it was a lovely environment. And like, they come in and do a really important, not important song, but it's a helpful song.
Mm-hmm. It's an exposition song.
Absolutely. And it's about that bit of world building that, you know, explains why, you know, suddenly real magic is an important thing and where the grimoire comes from and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it comes in the middle of another song. Like,
yes. You know,
You're kind of bopping away to One Day in the Emerald City, or was it one?
One Short Day.
One Short Day in the Emerald City. And then suddenly you're like, what? New number.
Old scratch.
Yeah, yeah. But fuck, what a way to go.
Is that the good old, take me down to the Emerald City where the grass is green and the girls are pretty?
Oh, take me down to the Emerald City where the grass is green and everything else is green and the walls are green and the girls are green. Another little thing, and this is probably bigger spoiler than I perhaps intended. What did we think of Elphaba's father and how that was handled?
Well, they just kind of allude and give you the information that you need to make the connection. They don't tell you, and they don't tell you in the stage musical either. You just like put two and two together yourself.
Did you? I personally was, because I was vaguely aware of that or enough of it. I picked up on a voice and went, hang on. Was it too much to have that actor singing?
No, because that's the point. The point is you work it out yourself.
Okay, right.
They give you all the clues to put that together.
Sounds cool. Like a very complicated thing. I need the screen to tell me the thing exactly how it's supposed to be so that I understand what the... I can't interpret things. You can't allude to things. What if I don't know?
Yeah. I just had a thought, like, at one point I was like, knowing the voice of the person and everything, I like, is that giving that away too much? But
no, yeah. That's the point.
Okay.
Yeah, fair. The point is you work it out yourself. Yeah.
Right.
So okay. Second question that I have, which is actually related to this before we go, does it make you more excited for the second part?
Yes. Yes.
Do you think it's going to have
there's so much character development in the second half too?
Interesting.
I want to have more to do.
It's going to be, there's so much. There's like a time skip and like lots and lots of character development.
And right.
Yep. And the
yeah, there's great, a heap of stuff in there.
Like, can you say it's like a third act moment in a second act?
Do you
in a like of yeah. a stage show, but then also in like a second film that will have three acts as well? Like,
is it gonna? Do you think that is it just going to be two? Is that what they're saying, or do you think it's worth three? Like with the success of this one, do you think that they'll just start retooling and? Start
no.
going maybe
no
because they have filmed the whole thing. They're not going back to shoot the second one. They did it all at once.
It's, oh, okay.
They spent 3 years. They spent 3 years.
Well, you on mean this film. You mean we're not going to get a Withricked?
That's where they take the W and they turn it to the side.
Exactly. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
Well, the E in Wicked becomes a three.
Withricked.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. Or
Wicked 4 Munchkin Land Drift.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that second act. And I know that there's a lot of talk about will we see like a new version of Dorothy? Like, you know, will we, I mean, that's as far as the story goes, it goes to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some, you know, interesting character reveals as to who may or may not be who. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, my eyes watering from fears.
I mean, you know,
but
like, do you think that they'll try to like combine everything together and get all of the, you know, lore in, and we'll get some sort of nods towards the DeFranco version? Oz the Great and Powerful gets shoehorned in there somehow.
Sweetie, I can tell you haven't watched the stage show either.
No.
She's asking all the questions that will be answered in the
second film. Excellent. I saw a bunch of people really, really getting very angry on the internet, as people want to do, because Elphaba cries.
Yeah, why didn't she melt?
Exactly that question.
Maybe she's like, she doesn't,
oh, sweetie, honey, you just don't know, do you?
She doesn't cry water tears. Maybe
tell
she's...
me you haven't seen it without telling me you haven't seen it.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. All these people going, I'm so smart. I've worked out a plot hole in this. And you're like,
yeah.
Have you?
Have you now? Yeah.
Go I worked on. Out the train plot hole straight away.
The Nazi train plot hole. Yes.
How dare that.
Anyway.
Yes. That was so exciting. Thanks. I'm really excited to eventually go and see Wicked because you guys love it so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope.
It was a great fucking joy. And it's a lovely thing to, you know, kind of come in towards the end of the year of a highlight.
Mm.
Yeah, right. Speaking of highlights, we're coming into December and we will definitely let you know what our break for December/Christmas period will be. But we've got a lot of stuff to cram into December just before we go, because we've got a whole bunch of stuff to get through and we haven't figured out how it's all going to do it yet.
No, I've already watched one trash Christmas film, so we can talk about that next month.
I mean,
I've got another one on the list.
Yeah, you've got Christmas. For like
probably
a whole...
the one that I just started. Is Netflix doing a new thing this season? Just like instead of Hallmark Christmas movies, it's just shirtless man Christmas movies?
Hey, I'm down.
Sure.
They've really, they've cornered a particular market.
you went down the hot, frosty... rabbit hole.
I did last night. Yeah. Peter, I mean, is doing the
Mean
the
Girls
one.
Reference was was a thing that existed.
Look, yeah, what have we got? Things that have come out recently. We've got Dune Prophecy, which has had a couple of things that have come out. We've got War for Rohirrim. We've got Kraven the Hunter, the cinematic masterpiece from Sony, last one in 2024. There's
Sonic 3.
Sonic the Hedgehog 3, you know, the only film that could pull Jim Carrey out of retirement. And some weird vampire Nosferatu stuff coming through. And Christmas movies. Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
And then we've also got another Christmas.
Yeah. Fuck, I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
It's been a long road getting from there to here. And we're coming into that end of the year where we're kind of just crawling over the line. But you have all been lovely. So thank you so much for joining us for this wicked show.
Absolutely.
And we will see. Next week.
I'm going to say it now just because it's going to be probably December heavy of shows, like consistency, but then we're going to drop off towards that until the next year rolls around. So I don't like the looks of things after maybe the 17th, but I haven't discussed that with anyone, so hey.
Oh, you're fucking off again,
eh? fucking off of this show, technically. 17th is about the last window for the year, so just letting you know for that one. So join us back. We'll come back, though. We'll just do jam-packed. It's going to be like five shows, five movies every Tuesday.
Yeah, 5 nights a week. Yeah.
Yeah, 2 hours a show. We're going to be popular. But we'll get that.
Not with our family, though.
No.
Oh, God, that's a whole thing, isn't it? Like, after, when we come back, it's like, what movies did we have to watch with our family during Christmas?
Anyway, that's our homework for Christmas break.
Yeah, we'll get it. Well, I'll try and be a bit better and get the schedule out, like, soonish, rather than a day before.
Or on the day off.
Shut up! I've got till the end of the week. Thank you, everyone in the chat. You've been amazing, and I hope you all do it. Yeah, oh, Gladiator 2! I still haven't seen that one.
And once again, I still don't give a shit about it.
Yeah, they cut out all the gay kisses, so I'm out.
They also cut out an entire character.
Oh. Let me guess, it was a woman.
Yes. And what's more, it was the Palestinian woman.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Yeah. Gladiator 2 can fuck right off.
Uh-huh. So you remember Moon Knight, the lady who played the Scarlet Arab?
Yeah.
They made a big deal about casting her and everything, and then she has been cut.
Cool, fuck off.
Yep.
Yep.
Wow.
Did I
in
a hole, Ridley?
Yep.
Yeah, well, good times. I mean, he's been down there for a few years. thanks, everyone. We're going to go and... No, thanks for the wicked talk. Go enjoy more wicked. Get some green face paint. Go right ahead. Halloween lives forever. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.